Big night as the NFL schedule continues here in week 11 of the fantasy football season. I'm Craig Mish along with Davis Maddock, but tonight is big for a number of different reasons, especially for my co-host who made a bet way back in April and is looking to cash in tonight. We're going to get to that here in a second. Let's start with our headlines here as the Patriots are -6.5 this evening against the Falcons on Thursday Night Football. We shared our thoughts throughout the show on that. Clippers and Grizzlies headlining tonight's six-game NBA slate. We're going to take a look at Brett's picks on FanDuel tonight for that. How about a little college football if that's on your menu? After an exciting overtime game in the MAC last night, by the way, Louisville -20.5 at Duke in college football. And we're going to talk about this a ton, too. American League and National League MVP votes tonight. They are revealed. The awards will be given out. So stand by on that as well. First, let's get back to the NFL game. Arthur Smith, the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, after arguably the worst game of the season for the Falcons last week, says things have to change pretty quickly.
It's the NFL week to week. There's going to be issues that come up. There are going to be challenges every week. You got to fix what the mistakes from the previous week. It's pretty simple. Easier said, obviously, than done. That's what we're going to do, just like we did after Tampa, just like we've tried to do whether we've won or lost the game.
Well, we'll see tonight as the Falcons are getting a touchdown at home in general. As we've talked about, the dogs have been very friendly to sports bettors this season. No question. 6.5 right now over on FanDuel. But Davis, this is it. This is the night tonight where it all comes to reality here. According to a lot of different reports, sports books are about to take a pounding tonight if Shohei Ohtani wins the American League MVP. For people who watch the show every day, they have to be curious what, without revealing exactly the amount here, Davis, but just what is at stake for you here when they make this announcement tonight? And by the way, it would be a stunner to me if Ohtani didn't. Now, the NL is a little confusing. We'll get to that. But if it would be a stunner to me if Ohtani did not have this award by the end of the night.
I was thinking this segment is what should I buy? Like, what luxury item should I buy with some of my winnings? Like, should I get a new car? Should I buy a Rolex? Should I, lock in a really nice honeymoon? Like, what should I do? What should I do, Craig? If you were about to add five figures to your life account.
Five figures.
I'm not going to say how much, but I bet as much as I could. On every sports book I had access to, I max bet it. So what should I buy? Like, should I treat myself?
The rule of thumb with me with betting and wagering, and again, I'm with you. Like, I usually do a four or five figure bet on a season win total in a sport. Yeah. Like, that's usually my thing. I love a bet that just lasts the whole season. That's hedgeable. To me, that's the best. There's nothing better than hitting a prop like this. You mentioned Corbin Burns, that was 20-1. But with one like this, I probably would say that you were well within your means. Now, again, you have a significant other to think about, and so do I, and that's a big part of it. But taking 20% of whatever you got there is well within your right. Now, if you wanted to take 50%, you could do that as well. I mean, that factors in. You're still going to be betting some money. You're still going to be rolling some of this over to continue to bet. You may win some, you may lose some. But my thing is, usually I'll take about 20% immediately and say, okay, I got to make sure that I remember what it feels like to win this so that I can do the research and try to win another one of these again.
So my question is, what is Ohtani's price for AL MVP next year? Is this the last year that he's just going to be like +200, right? Or Trout will be +200 and Ohtani will be like +400, right? That's what it's going to be.
You don't think he's going to, well, Guerrero may be the favorite, could be.
That's true.
Yeah, Guerrero could be the favorite there because again, we get that, tired, voter that just doesn't want to give it to the same person. For me, as long as Ohtani does exactly what he did next year, I would think he would win the MVP. But the problem for me is that we did hear so much, Davis, about Guerrero down the stretch that I kind of feel like if all things are equal, they may push that award to him next year if things are close. Like, it felt like they were trying to do that anyway for some reason, and I didn't understand it. So my whole thesis about how do you not give Ohtani the MVP if he wins it this season, it may be incorrect. They may find a way out of it.
If he hits 40 home runs and has a 3.5 ERA over 130 innings again, there is no possible way he cannot be the MVP, which was the whole thesis behind what you and I talked about. How much content did we get out of the Ohtani MVP thing? Yeah. I feel like we talked about it every single day for like months, but if, you know, we're trying to help you. Like, that's the whole thing. We love helping people watching Sports Grid. It's like, I mean, it'll be the best bet I ever make in my life. I will be chasing the high of winning this Ohtani MVP for however long I live. I'll be chasing that high.
Yeah, I mean, a futures bet at the beginning of the year and hitting in the end is just fantastic. By the way, up for the NL MVP tonight, many people feel Bryce Harper is going to win the award, but certainly when you look at what Juan Soto did from about June on, there are some people that feel like if they're going metrics, Juan Soto's going to end up winning this tonight. Going to be close. I think Harper's going to win, but it should be close. We'll dive back into the NBA DFS later. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Quarter slate tonight in the NBA, but of course we're going to give you the edge on how to play that tonight in Daily Fantasy. Craig Mish and Davis Maddock back with you here on the show. Of course, Brett Levy is locked and loaded, ready to win some money tonight. Brett, big night for you last night in college basketball, I think? Maybe we're going to have to start doing some college basketball with you here.
Yeah, I hit a little boost there and then middled a few bets, Craig. So yeah, it was a good college basketball night. I gave out Talen Horton Tucker on the show yesterday, Craig. So
oh, wow.
I did okay in fantasy. Not every Wednesday is that good, though, Craig. So you got to celebrate the highs because the lows come too.
They definitely do. Thanks for sending me all that information yesterday, by the way, on my day off. Really appreciative. I got in on all of it. Oh, that's right. You didn't do that. Okay. Won't hold it against you, Brett, this time. All right, let's take a look tonight at the daily fantasy lineup that Brett's got put together for us. We'll get Davis's thoughts. DeJounte Murray, 9,900 tonight. Tyrese Maxey is 7,900. Devin Vassell is 5,400. And then Gary Payton II, the saving price here at $4,800. So, Brett, we're back to a short slate. I know I always have the bad luck with you here. I always get the short slate, it feels like, but let's break it down. Why do you like these guys tonight?
Yeah, so, I mean, DeJounte Murray, triple-double his last game. He's always one of my guys, Craig. So I think it's worth spending up for him. Tyrese Maxey continuing to play big minutes for the Sixers. So, look, he's a guy that just every night has the opportunity to outproduce that price. And I'll take that shot with him. Devin Vassell played a lot better than some of the other bench options for the San Antonio Spurs over the recent stretch of games. So I'm just banking on him that he'll continue to be one of the leading guys off the bench for San Antonio. And Gary Payton's played really well, earned a lot of shot attempts in these minutes. He gets steals. You know, that was obviously his dad's thing, Craig, getting a lot of steals, playing good defense. Gary Payton II, probably a little bit of a better athlete, you know, more of a dunker, plays a little above the rim as well. So he's been fun to watch. And, you know, I know he's going to be on the court at 4,600, so I can spend up at a few other places.
All right, Brett, what do you think about the point guards and shooting guards tonight in this lineup?
I think he's on the right path here. I just love the dudes who play the crazy minutes, and Tyrese Maxey, as a result of everything going on with the 76ers, is having to play crazy minutes. I think there are a couple value options I like a little bit better than Devin Vassell, though. One of them being Terrence Mann. I expect him to rejoin the rotation he missed the other night for illness, and he's a little bit cheaper. I really like him. And Desmond Bane as well. He got priced down for Memphis with Dylan Brooks coming back, but he stayed in the same role, and the guy who lost minutes was De'Anthony Melton. But love the Gary Payton, the Gary Payton II play, by the way. This guy, I mean, he is unbelievable on defense. If you're after the show, go to YouTube and just get like watch like 3 minutes of Gary Payton II playing defense. It's like guys like Spider-Man. He's everywhere. It's incredible.
All right, interesting there. All right, so let's take a look at the big men tonight in Brett's lineup over on FanDuel. We've got Bojan Bogdanovic at 5,700. Denny Avija, he's always throwing these names here that I can't pronounce, 4,300. Tobias Harris is 7,500 tonight. Jaren Jackson, 6,900. And Montrezl Harrell at the center position, Brett, at 7,600. So new names popping up for me here today.
Yeah, well, Bogey, really good stretch run here for Utah over the last two games, scoring the ball at a really high level, leading them in scoring in their last game, Craig. So I'm going to ride the hot hand with Bojan Bogdanovic. Denny Avija, he's a tribe member, Craig, so one of us. And look, he's playing really well for the Washington Wizards. Again, recently, his last stretch of games, pretty good. Last week, he had a stinker as well. So, you know, there's definitely some risk involved with him. But at 4,300, you're not looking for him to carry the load here. And then Tobias Harris, Jaren Jackson Jr., Montrezl Harrell, all mid-priced players, but towards the upper end that I think can have good nights tonight.
All right. Davis, turn it over to you here for the big men. Who do you like and who do you got in your lineup?
So I just really wanted to give you props for getting Denny Avija correctly, because looking at that name, there's a lot of different ways that you could go with that one. It tells me that you are you're just a veteran, Craig. You've been doing this for a long time, and you know how to get the pronunciations correct, or at least correct enough that it's not going to seem too rough on the surface. So props on that one. I do think this is very gross. But we are going to have to look at the Cleveland Cavaliers wings guys, because Evan Mobley is out, and we thought that Chetty Osman was going to be playing more, but that is not happening. Also, Kevin Love might not play tonight. He did play last night, but he is going through reconditioning, which I guess is basically just them saying Kevin Love is really old and creaky. So I don't think he's going to play tonight. So I think that Dean Wade is going to get a lot of minutes. I think Isaac Okoro is going to get a lot of minutes. And Jared Allen also doubtful for this game for the Cleveland Cavaliers as well. So they are just going to be really thin on the front court. So I think pretty much any power forward or center active for the Cavaliers tonight against the Golden State Warriors, a pretty decent play. And Montrezl Harrell, unreal season this guy is having. He's third in the NBA in usage rate and fourth in the NBA in win shares. I mean, we think about Montrezl Harrell, we do not think about him, you know, basically being like the same as like Jokic on a per minute basis, but he has been phenomenal this season for the Washington Wizards. One of the best, you know, free agent acquisitions of the offseason, I think.
All right. So there you have it, Brett. Thanks for joining us once again here on the show. And Brett, by the way, I don't know if you have my number for, you know, send me over those college basketball picks, but after the show, if you want, I'll send you my phone number. I guess I have your email for sure, right? So I'll send you my phone number via email. You could just send them over to me, okay?
There you go, Craig. I don't want the pressure, because what if I have a bad night and then I come on the next day and I turn on FST and all of a sudden I start hearing about how bad my picks are. So I'd rather take the beating when I win. I'd rather take the beating when I win, because then I have money in my pocket.
I understand. Well, listen, we have people that take care of those sort of things, you know, like Spencer, our intern. He'll show up at your house, maybe with a big, you know, baseball bat of some kind, but you know, just to share it with you, just to show it to you based on wins and losses. But All right, Brett, thanks again for coming on. Really appreciate it. Real quick, Davis, before we go to break here, no DeAndre Hopkins again at practice for Arizona. I mean, maybe they are, I don't know how to say punting this week, but maybe they are going to sit these guys again. Is this possible?
You know, Kyler came back to practice, which I was feeling pretty encouraged by. But, you know, it does seem like that hamstring injury that DeAndre Hopkins got on, I can't remember if that was Thursday night or Sunday night or Monday night at all, just really runs together at this point in the season, doesn't it? But it was definitely an island game. I wanted to make this point on the show, so thank you for bringing this up. Cliff Kingsbury is an idiot. I mean, he really is, because his solution to DeAndre Hopkins not playing is to play this undrafted free agent named Antoine Wesley 75% of the snaps instead of playing second-round pick Rondale Moore. Like, what are we doing, Cliff? Grow up, please.
Was Isabella his draft pick or no?
Yes, that was the first pick he made after he picked Kyler. He took Isabella in the second round.
I could play that guy too. Has he even played this year? I haven't seen him once. So, all right, Dynasty pick down the drain. We've talked about him way too much. All right, coming up next, more fantasy discussion. We're going to take a look, speaking of which, at Dynasty League potential. So stay with us here on Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. We got you until 2 o'clock Eastern. We got some fantasy reality coming up, as well as the Sports Grid 60. Davis and I will be right back in just a couple of minutes. Stay with us. Great.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
That time of the year where Dynasty League football becomes very intriguing, because so many players at this point are either headed toward the fantasy football playoffs and some are done. So, of course, they are selling players at this point. And so, especially for the sellers, Davis, it's time to take a deeper look at maybe some players that you may have on your roster, or maybe players that somebody's trying to pawn off on you for the remainder of the season. And it does come down to what you have, obviously, you know, with some of these guys. But let's kind of get into some thoughts here on some players that you'd want to sell right now.
So I actually think this is a great little list that we have compiled by our producer, Brett Levy. I love Dynasty Fantasy Football. And I mean, this offseason, you're going to get so sick of me running through, you know, all these rookies and all these trades, because you're just going to want to talk baseball here on the show. You're going to want me to be, you know, projecting the Detroit Tigers rotation and debating who's going to get saves for the Arizona Diamondbacks. And I'm going to be like, you know, Craig, I really think we need to look a little bit closer at who the backup tight end for the Jacksonville Jaguars is going to be. So that'll be some fun stuff for us to do this offseason. So the first one we have here is Dan Arnold. And I totally see why he is an intriguing sell high candidate. I actually, you know, honestly, through just sheer dumb luck, have Dan Arnold on a couple of my Dynasty teams. And to be honest, the teams that are doing well, I kind of want to hold on to him. So he is only 26 years old. We know that tight ends kind of take a while to develop. And Craig, do you remember when you first heard about Dan Arnold? Do you remember the team that he was on when we first had to learn his name?
Was it Arizona?
So he was on Arizona, but he was one of the million guys on the New Orleans Saints who caught random touchdowns, right? So it's Josh Hill and Jared Cook and Dan Arnold, and they have 9 wide receivers and 4 tight ends and 6 running backs. Dan Arnold was one of those guys. He was actually a receiver in college. And so it feels weird, like, oh, this guy at 26 years old is going to break out in the NFL. But I'm pretty inclined to believe that what he's doing right now is like, is he going to lead the Jacksonville Jaguars in targets next year? Probably not. They're probably going to get DJ Chark back. They'll have Marvin Jones. Maybe they'll remember that LaVisca Chenault is on their roster. I think if I could get a second round rookie pick for Dan Arnold right now, I would do it. But if, you know, someone was just offering me bottom of the roster trash, for if someone offered me Mike Davis for Dan Arnold or something like that, I think I would be inclined to keep him.
It's interesting. You know, I kind of felt like he was a product of just a player that Urban Meyer wanted and making him into something and now justifying that trade. I mean, at least that's the way that I viewed it. But maybe I got to take a second look at that. But would you feel that way about it, Davis, if I told you Urban Meyer was not the coach of the Jaguars next year?
Well, I mean, it does feel like Urban Meyer has a big hand in what has happened with Dan Arnold. He traded for him. Dan Arnold had not even practiced with the Jacksonville Jaguars when he played his first game with them in week 4 against Cincinnati, and he played 32% of their snaps. He had literally not been at a practice. You know what I'm kind of thinking, though? I think Urban's going to be the coach next year. I think you that do. Buffalo, wow. I think that Buffalo Bills win basically saved his bacon. I think that without that win, I think it's pretty easy to be like, there's nothing here. The guys aren't playing for you. You're torpedoing Trevor Lawrence's career. But I think that win engendered some confidence from the front office in him.
Yeah, well, we'll see. It probably would be good if he could get one more, by the way, before the end of the year. Okay, Cam Newton is taking over at quarterback in Carolina. So for people who just let him go completely, it looks like he's going to get a handful of starts for the rest of the season. And last week, very uninspiring in terms of the numbers. But again, it's Cam Newton, popular player, led his team to a win, rushed the ball on those packages into the end zone. Before we get to the value here on Cam Newton, very interesting conversation Matt Rhule had with the media, where essentially most people felt that after that performance, Cam Newton would be getting all the quarterback snaps this week. And from the way that Matt Rhule talked, it doesn't seem to be the case.
How unique is it? I don't think it happens very often, you know. Maybe it has, you know. But, typically your quarterback, you know, everything, when something goes wrong on the field, the quarterback has to make it right and make it right. They need tools, and to use tools, they have to have been through it and learned everything. That being said, you know, Cam's played a lot of football. And so they put a lot of things up, and some things really, you know, probably hit his head easier than others because they've been there for a while. You can see really quickly that he's really a smart guy, and you can see really quickly that he works at it. So, they'll figure out the right, you know, plays for him, right amount of plays for him. Obviously, we have PJ as well, so there's the right plays for him, and put together a game plan.
I found that interesting there at the end, Davis. And by the way, somebody did ask a follow-up question, basically, to Rhule saying, so wait a minute here. So Cam Newton is not the starting quarterback? And he went into it a little bit more, just basically expanding, saying that Walker was going to be a part of this week's game plan. But let's go to Dynasty here for a minute. I mean, what is the value on a player like this? I suppose more in a super flex Dynasty league where you're playing two quarterbacks, because who's really starting Cam Newton this week in a 12 or 15-team league?
I mean, which, by the way, Superflex Dynasty Leagues are the best. That is my preferred format. My preferred Dynasty format, 12 teams, 30-man rosters, Superflex, tight end premium, best ball. I know that's a lot of settings, but trust me, if you play in one of those leagues, you will never go back to playing in a different type of Dynasty League. They're just the absolute best. And in those formats, Cam Newton is a pretty valuable player because he came up, you know, basically off the waiver wire in the middle of the season. If you were lucky enough to get him, lots of people dropped him. Lots of people had moved on. In that format, you know, if I was a team that was not really competing, or, you know, if I had Kyler and Dak and, you know, some crappy third quarterback, a Jared Goff or a Ben Roethlisberger or whatever, I would definitely look to be selling Cam Newton right now. But on the contrary, if I thought I could win a championship this year and I just wanted to shore up my quarterback points, you know, Cam, he'll probably get hurt, right? Because that's what we've seen happen out of him the last couple years is he's not particularly good throwing the ball. But I told George this yesterday. I don't think he believed me. Cam Newton was a top 10 quarterback fantasy points per game last year because rushing just, it's a cheat code, right? Rushing is just a cheat code for fantasy football quarterbacks. So I would be, I would rent for a championship window right now, I would be interested in buying Cam.
Interesting. Okay, let's close it out with the Houston Texans. Brandon Cooks has got to be miserable that he did not get moved from Houston, stuck there now the rest of the season. 57 receptions, 641 receiving yards, 2 touchdowns on 84 targets. And, I mean, I don't know. I mean, this is definitely a player that somebody has sitting on their roster, Davis, that you would probably envision Cooks being somewhere else outside of Houston next season. So then you're worried about the volume. But then again, look, he could end up with a great quarterback, you know? I mean, doesn't Brandon Cooks have, like, the feeling of Los Angeles Chargers to go with Keenan Allen and maybe Mike Williams next season? Now all of a sudden Herbert is with them too. It's like it feels like he's going to be somewhere else that probably he's never played before. But what do you make of his value?
Yeah, I mean, what a career Brandon Cooks has had, right? Saints traded to the New England Patriots, then traded to the Rams. So he's played for all of these great teams, played for all these teams that were competing for Super Bowls, you know, played in a Super Bowl when he was a member of the Los Angeles Rams. And then now he's, played with Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Deshaun Watson, Jared Goff, who I guess Goff doesn't really, not in the same category, now playing with Davis Mills and Tyrod Taylor. So what a strange career Brandon Cooks has had. It always feels to me like an underappreciated guy. Like, I don't know, to me, when he's on the field, like, he seems like he makes a big difference. He creates lots of space for the other players on the team, and his impact in Houston, I think, should have been felt more. You know, that trio of DeAndre Hopkins, Will Fuller, and Brandon Cooks, I think, should have been, had Hopkins been there, I think they really would have made some stuff happen. I can't be interested in Cooks. I'd sell Brandon Cooks for anything that wasn't tied down, basically.
And by the way, how does Houston dig out of what's going on here? Is the only way, like, just praying that they get all these picks for Watson? Like, they don't even have their first pick next year, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's really, like, their route out of this is they because they don't have their pick. I believe Philadelphia has it. That might not be true. Or no, Philadelphia does have it from Miami. It was done in the Jalen Waddle trade. So their way out of this is, yeah, they Deshaun Watson, you know, comes back from this legal stuff. His name gets cleared or doesn't get cleared. And they end up trading him away for a big boatload of picks, or they just go the Detroit Lions route and they're hopeless for 10 years. And then they just start the cycle anew, basically.
Hopefully not. Very passionate fans like there are in Detroit, in Houston, for a team that, always seemed to make the playoffs, but really couldn't get out of that first round. Or if they did, couldn't get out of the second round, no doubt. Okay, we got Fantasy or Reality coming up next. Don't forget, folks, this coming Sunday morning, 8 a.m. Eastern, you can catch me, Joe Pizzapia, and Matt Stryker as we get you ready for the upcoming week in fantasy football. We do 2 hours. One is dedicated all to daily fantasy, and then the other is talking season long with you. So make sure you catch that show. It's on every Sunday morning right here on Sports Grid from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern on Sports Grid and sportsgrid.com. On tomorrow's show, we will take a look a little deeper at this week's DFS slate, an early look at it with Jim Sanis of NumberFire and FanDuel, as he will join us here on the show. And of course, we'll recap Thursday Night Football as well. So stay on the grid. We'll be right back with Fantasy or Reality. Great.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, before we get to fantasy reality, some fantasy running back news from the practice field today. Let me run through this real quick. Cordarrelle Patterson, according to NFL Network, the quote is uphill battle in order to play tonight. So it doesn't look good, unfortunately, for Patterson. For the Browns, Nick Chubb trending in the right direction are the words that has been used. Of course, he's been out. He missed last week with COVID. And then the other note here, Davis, is that Kyle Shanahan this morning told reporters that Trey Sermon still remains third on the 49ers depth chart behind Elijah Mitchell and also behind Jeff Wilson. And even with Mitchell playing this week, my guess is the people who held on to Wilson may actually get to use him this week as a possibility.
I mean, I've been holding on to Jeff Wilson in some of these leagues for like 6 weeks at this point. The usage was encouraging last week. Trey Sermon, true story, since Eli Mitchell came back from that knee injury that made him miss a couple weeks, Trey Sermon has more tackles on special teams than carries. Wow. He's got two tackles on special teams, one carry on offense. So Jeff Wilson Jr. I think is going to have, he's going to get a bunch of touches this week against Jacksonville. It's a good matchup. I think if Eli Mitchell misses, Sermon will get some work, you know, probably like 5 to 8 carries, because they don't want to give, remember I believe it was the Green Bay game, Kyle Juszczyk played 86% of the snaps and it was the most carries he'd ever gotten in a game. I don't really think they want to do that to Juszczyk. You know, I think they like him in that role. Now we'll probably see some more carries from your guy, Deebo Samuel, and from Brandon Ayuk in this game against the Jacksonville Jaguars if Eli Mitchell were to miss. But Jeff Wilson Jr. is definitely going to be a start this week.
Well, one more thing. Do you think it's fair? I haven't seen this asked or on social media or anywhere else. And of course, I'm the biggest Deebo investor in fantasy this year. Is it fair to ask why Deebo Samuel does not qualify at running back right now?
I mean, because he doesn't play there. He gets carries, but he gets them mostly out of jet motion. Like most of, I think he's got 14 carries on the season. And I think 3 of them have come out of the backfield, but most of them have come out of jet motion or on reverses. So that would be I assume that would be why I would love to have any other player, you know, startable at running back in all my leagues, but I assume that would be why.
Okay, let's kick it to a little fantasy or reality.
All right, Craig, the Seattle Mariners made some, I guess it's big news, some expected news, I guess, is probably a better way of putting it, by announcing Ichiro Suzuki will be inducted into the Mariners Hall of Fame this season. So, Craig, we'll start with you for this one. Ichiro is the greatest Mariners player ever. Is this a fantasy or reality?
Yeah, I got to say this is a fantasy. You know, great career for Ichiro, headed to Cooperstown, headed to the Hall of Fame for sure. But Davis, you know, I got Ken Griffey Jr. as the greatest Mariners, player ever. I don't even think this is relatively close. I mean, I can make the case maybe Edgar Martinez is the greatest Mariner ever too. But Ichiro, great player, Hall of Famer for sure.
Ichiro, great player, surefire, first ballot Hall of Famer. But I mean, Craig, you know me. The first thing that I'm going to do when we're talking about these great, I'm going to go look at war, right? I'm going to look at who has generated the most war. It's really not even close. Ken Griffey Jr., 70.6 career war. Ichiro, 56.4 career war. So again, by the way, Edgar Martinez, who you just mentioned, also ahead of Ichiro. Interesting that he would be ahead of Ichiro in total war, because he was a designated hitter for basically a decade, because you know he played for a long time, but he was playing. I mean, Edgar Martinez had 549 plate appearances at 41 years old. So I thought that was interesting, because Ichiro played for a long time. I didn't really realize that Edgar Martinez had played for such a long time as well. But yeah, Ken Griffey Jr. is the best Mariner of all time. And then, you know, maybe you could, what I could hear someone saying is, well, why would he be the best Mariner ever when he left to go play in Cincinnati, went to go play in for Chicago for a season as well? Ichiro did the same thing, right? He left, he was a Marlin, he was a Yankee, maybe one other team, but yeah, this is a fantasy. Ken Griffey Jr. is the greatest Mariner ever. And if we really want to get controversial, the best Mariners hitting season ever, single season, was Alex Rodriguez.
Fair. Yeah, fair.
All right. Well, Davis, we'll start with you for this next one, because Craig's number 24 Florida Gators are hosting a pretty good prospect in college basketball tonight. Patrick Baldwin Jr. was a top five recruit, Craig. He is a potential number one overall pick in this year's upcoming NBA draft. But Davis, we're going to start with you. Craig will watch 5 minutes of the Florida-Milwaukee game tonight. Is this a fantasy or reality?
So I saw this on a rundown, and I kind of had to think about it. And I know that Craig likes college sports a little bit more than me. He likes to stay in tune, and he likes to know what's going on in, you know, he likes to know what's going on with his Florida Gators. But I also know that, much like me, Craig subscribes to the idea that that a man can only take on so much. We can only keep track of so many things. There are only so many sports, and the NFL for this show, you know, and just for our general interest, we got to follow the NFL. Craig's got to keep on. He's got to know what's going on the MLB hot stove. He's got to check the box scores for the NBA for doing this show. So I'm going to say fantasy. Craig will not watch 5 minutes of this game. If he does see any of it, it will either be logging on Twitter and seeing other Florida Gators alumni that he follows posting highlights of it, or he'll watch a little bit of it in the morning, but he's not going to watch 5 minutes of it live tonight.
I think Davis's answer is reality, and this is a fantasy, Brett. I am probably not going to watch any of the Gators basketball game tonight. Very well aware of what's going on there, and I know who Patrick Baldwin is, but my gosh, like, spreading around college football, the NFL game tonight, probably some other things on TV that I'll be watching. I highly doubt it. I mean, I can't say that I will. And again, it's against, you know, a subpar team in college basketball as well, Brett. I know that you're willing me to get to this 5 minute mark tonight, but in all likelihood, it is not happening. So I'm going to agree with Davis. Reality on Davis's answer and fantasy on yours, Brett. Going to have to pass.
It feels like it could be an NFL. You know, Mike White will be there, a different Mike White, but a Mike White
the head
will be
coach,
there.
Right.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, our last one, big news from the Marvel Universe over the last few days here, Craig. We got a new final trailer for the newest Spider-Man movie, A New Home. It looks like it's going to be a very exciting movie. People were very excited about the trailer. A lot of theories out there, people talking about the movie poster as well. So, Craig, we'll start with you for this one. You will see the new Spider-Man in theaters. Is this a fantasy or reality?
Yeah, so, you know, fantasy for a number of reasons. First and foremost, let's be honest. First and foremost, I have not seen any of the Spider-Man movies that Tobey Maguire has not been in. I mean, I know that they keep making them. I understand it. I know that they're going to make these new Batman movies too. But I have not seen any of the newer Spider-Man movies. So that's definitely a fantasy, number one. Number two, still have not been to the movie theater yet. And don't really, and I have not seen anything on the radar that's going to make me go to the movie theaters. Davis, I mean, I know that this is probably harsh, but I was thinking that I don't even know what the future of movie theaters are, to be honest. Maybe I'm completely wrong, and in 5 years, this would be a silly discussion, and somebody will say, remember when you said that maybe movie theaters were in trouble, and that was stupid, that was wrong, but I don't know, man. I'm sort of feeling like eventually everything is going to be streaming. I don't know. Maybe I could be wrong. But anyway, I have not seen any of the Spider-Man movies, so that's a fantasy, and I also haven't been to the theater. This one is not going to drive me to the theater. Fantasy, double fantasy on this one.
Yeah, this is a fantasy for me because this is an extension of the Marvel movies. And by the way, they have to do this very carefully because, true story, Marvel does not own the rights to Spider-Man. They own the rights to the Avengers and the Avengers, you know, universe or whatever, of which Spider-Man is in. But a solo Spider-Man movie, all of those rights are owned by Sony. That is why Tobey Maguire is not in this movie. That is why Andrew Garfield is not in this movie. And it's why Tom Holland is in this movie, because all the, you know, all those movies were made by a different media corporation. And the reason why I know that is I loved the animated Spider-Man movie, Into the Spider-Verse, the one with Miles Morales was in there. That was a great movie. The animation was great. All the voice acting was phenomenal. But I had not seen, much like you, had not seen any of the non-Tobey Maguire Spider-Mans. Didn't watch Spider-Man Homecoming, which I think this kid, Tom Holland, I think he was the one who was in that. And I did not see any of the Andrew Garfield ones either. I did go back to the movie theaters, though. I went to go see James Bond. Went to go see No Time to Die in the movie theaters. Not because I wanted to go to the movie theater. I would have much rather, paid $20 on HBO Max or whatever to watch that movie in the comfort of my own home. But they didn't offer it. It was only there. I really wanted to see it, so I went to the movie theater. But Dune, everyone was really excited about Dune. They said you got to go see it in the theater. I watched Dune from home because I much prefer the comfort of my own home to going to the movie theater anyway, to begin with.
Yeah, and something that didn't exist, for sure in the past. Very interesting there. Real quick update here, Davis. Hollywood Brown missing practice today for Baltimore. Also, Lamar Jackson missing practice for Baltimore, but non-COVID illness for Lamar Jackson. This is 2 days in a row of him not practicing.
No one gets sick more than Lamar Jackson, right? I feel like this is like the sixth time this year we've talked about Lamar Jackson missing a practice for illness. We got to get this guy on like a vitamin C and fish oil regimen because I feel like his stomach is all upset. Let me say though, if the Ravens come into this game with no Bateman or no Hollywood Brown, not going to be a very enjoyable watch, I don't think. And we're going to get Tim Boyle starting for the Detroit Lions. Seems like Jared Goff not going to play this week with this injury. Wow. So not great on that front for the Detroit Lions.
What happened to Blau? He's not there anymore? I thought he was there. That guy.
He got leapt. Yeah, he got leapfrogged.
Oh my gosh, Tim Boyle. Thanksgiving's on deck for Detroit. Could be the Tim Boyle Thanksgiving game. Oh my. We'll take a quick break here on Fantasy Sports Today. We got the Sports Grid 60 coming up next, and then we shut it down here for this Thursday. Of course, NFL football tonight, full recap tomorrow. Stay on the grid. We're coming for you next. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
As we wrap up this edition of Fantasy Sports Today, make sure you check us out tomorrow because we are locked and loaded for another Friday football edition of FST. Before we leave you here today, let's turn it over to Davis. He's got the Sports Grid 60 ready to go.
Very simple Sports Grid 60 for me today. The NCAA always looking for ways to make money. One of the ways they could make money is by, engaging people with their content via fantasy sports, via gambling, right? We have legalized sports betting, I think, in over 25 states now in the United States. Very simple. You got to have accurate injury reporting. There has got to be widespread rules the same way that we have for the NFL, the same way we have for the NBA, the same way we have for the NHL. The coaches have got to give accurate injury reporting. Inactives, 60 minutes before, 90 minutes before, I do not care. But there's been multiple Saturdays this month where I've spent, my afternoon just searching on Twitter if, Brendan Armstrong for the University of Virginia is going to play, or if, Clemson's running back is going to play, or if some star wide receiver is going to play. We just got to have good, accurate, consistent injury reporting in college football.
Yeah, fair enough. Not easy, by the way, to do with as many college football teams as there are. Well, we're going to have a rarity tonight in Major League Baseball. We're going to have an American League MVP and we're going to have a National League MVP awarded. And in all likelihood, it's going to be to two players who were not in the postseason. How about that? The MVP in the AL, the MVP in the NL, which in all likelihood is going to be Shohei Ohtani and Bryce Harper, are going to be the MVPs of their team, the MVPs of their league, and not even get to the playoffs. So what does this really say about the MVP in Major League Baseball? Well, I think it's just sort of a rarity. I wouldn't look too much into it. Probably returns back to it next year, guys like Freddie Freeman on being on their teams that make the postseason. But kind of cool tonight to see that it doesn't necessarily mean they have to make it. That'll do it for the show. Thanks to Spencer, of course, for helping out. For LTN, Brett, Danny, and Ryan, and Davis, I'm Craig. See you tomorrow. Break, break.